Good evening, everyone. It's a joy to be here for Galena and myself, and that's an understatement, just because it's America, and hey, it's a great country, and it's Alabama, and it's Montgomery, so there's a lot of good things about being here. At the same time, we really do miss being with our brothers and sisters, the new Christians, the many friends that we make in Nikolaev, Ukraine, thanks to you. In the year 2012, we spent 9 months in Ukraine working, and I want to thank you for that. You made it possible for us to be there serving the Lord in Nikolaev during 2012 for those 9 months. We have difficulty spending as much time as we would like due to the regulations, the rules that have to do with the amount of time that you can stay in a country. And we're trying our best each time to improve on that. And we just try to learn which hoops we should be going through. I really appreciate Charles' prayer tonight, the very sincere prayer that he prayed, not just for us, as he always does, and he tells us that he does, and we know you do, Charles, and I thank you. But he prays for other people, and I appreciate that. And all of you who pray for us and who write notes of encouragement, it really does mean an awful lot when we hear from you. It's just super that we can hear from you anytime. I do have a daily message that I send out. It's called Word of the Day, and maybe some of you would like to be included in that. I send it by email, and I post it everywhere else in many other places. But if you would like to receive that by email, you may just ask myself or Galena and give us your email address or send me an email, and I'll be sure to add your name to that list. I'm looking at Joanne back there, and she told a funny Friday night that she doesn't want her face on any book. So I like that. And there are some people that don't care about these newfangled sites and programs, but they are useful, and many people in the world do use them to the glory of God. Many people misuse them, and certainly Satan is at work. But those of us who are sincerely interested in spreading the word, we can put the word on many different places, and we should. We should be active, and we should be out there and aggressively publishing God's message to the whole world in however we can do it. We don't have much time. How do I know? Just look at us. We're running out of time. We don't have much time to get the job done. So we need to make haste. All of us should be busy and throw everything into high gear. And while we're still alive, we should do the best we can. Many people suggest regularly other mission places that they think I should go. And I listen attentively and carefully. But God has us right where we are, I feel certain, for this particular time at least. And when God's ready for me to move over somewhere else, I'll take the message. But right now, God is opening a door, as the apostles really sincerely believe, that God was opening a door for them in this part of the world that's not so far from Nikolaev. In fact, Italia, Turkey, is kind of straight south from Nikolaev, just straight down the Black Sea. So the places where they were, and where they were sowing the seeds and God was opening the doors, God is opening those doors now for us, and we should take advantage of that. And I have a grandson that says, Grandfather, you should come with me to Mexico. He'll be a senior in high school, and he's gone with his mom, Laura, for 3 summers. And he loves going down there. He takes Spanish, and he's having a great time teaching some people in Mexico, along with his mom. And I said, well, Daniel, no, you should come with me. And so he said, well, I see that you love your work the same as I love my work. And that was kind of a nice little exchange to have with your grandson. And I sincerely believe that's right, that you should have a conviction in your heart about where you are working and do your best to spread the gospel in that case. I have up here with me a couple of Bibles. This is the most common Russian language Bible. I thought maybe it'd be interesting for you to look at this. This is called the Synodal Version. Back in the 19th century, the late 19th century, the Russian Orthodox Church had a synod of a lot of different scholars. They're Russian language scholars. And, you know, they have a lot of manuscripts in St. Petersburg and other museums and many other places. And so they consulted their best manuscripts, and they also consulted some other works that had already been done. And they came up with this synodal version, which is the most trusted version in Russia and Ukraine. The reason for that is that the Ukrainian language Bible was done by one man, one scholar. And so people look at it and they say, well, we'd rather have something that's been done by a group of scholars, people who would check each other. So whenever we're quoting and teaching from the Russian Bible, we always use this synodal version. We do consult other versions, but that is the one that the Russian people, Ukrainian people, consider as the King James Version or the American Standard Version or maybe modern days, the ESV or something like that. It is the one that everybody in Russia and Ukraine consider to be the closest to a literal translation. So that's why we choose to use that. And maybe that would be something interesting for you. Today I do have a presentation, and I am going to try to go through it and get through it tonight without losing my way. But just in case, we did, Galena had an idea to print out my everything I'm going to say and that I won't say. And there will be a handout, and so we'll have those later. We did only have time to print 2, so we will print more later, and we will have one in it because it has so many pictures and we have a slow printer, so it takes a while. But we'll have some of these available for you. And also, 2012 was kind of a hallmark year for my work in Russia. It was a 20-year mark, as Bob and I know, and it just sort of came, and then I missed it. I didn't think about it in 2012, and then now it's 2013. I realized, hey, we've already been going to Russia for 20 years, and so the clock is ticking, and I understand that, and there's so much more to be done, and there's so many more people that should be involved in this, and yes, there are many people who have legitimate other place to go, and you're doing a good job there, and that's wonderful. But this Del Rey Church has been involved in Russia for a long time, and I don't think it's time to walk away from that. There's still, God is still opening doors in Russia and Ukraine, and so this congregation is wise to continue to be involved with it, whether it's with the Binkleys or the Kakumans or whoever else you might decide to be involved with. You're to pat yourself on the back for staying with the work in Russia, because some churches have said, well, we're almost like in a Cold War again. And there is something to that. There is, we're having difficulties getting visas to go to Russia, and not to Ukraine, but to Russia, because of this current visa war. And it's pretty a serious thing. And it is a little bit like a Cold War. Now, there's no coldness if you've got $1 billion and you want to go do some big project over there in Moscow or St. Petersburg. They'll say, come right in, and no problems. But if you just want to go do some work, cultural exchange, or humanitarian aid, or mission work, you're going to have a little trouble getting a visa. And so we are faced with that right now. But we're in the southern part of Ukraine, in case maybe you have forgotten where we are. And you can see the Black Sea, and I'll leave the map up there for just a moment. There is a place there that you can see the peninsula is the Crimean Peninsula. And that's where Yalta is, where the World War II ended right there, and the documents were signed with Stalin and Roosevelt and Churchill. Mine would slip for a minute. And so Nikolaev is to the west of the Crimean Peninsula. Not too far, actually, although it does, if you want to ride a bus over there, we've thought about doing that. It does take about an 8 or 9 hour drive to get over to the Crimean Peninsula from where we are. And there are, in good times, trains, but that's not the usual way that people go. Most people who live in Nikolaev either walk or ride a bus, they ride a streetcar, or they may ride a trolley bus. And if they are really in a big hurry and they got to get to an appointment like really fast, they will take a taxi. And taxis are affordable, they're even for the people there. And when you ride one of those mini buses, you better just hold on to everything you got, because you're packed in there like sardines. And there's no way to get around that. But as hard as it is, people still do make it to our assemblies. We have nobody in the congregation that has any kind of a transportation of their own. So they all rely either on my 2 feet or other forms of public transportation. And they do get there. And we're very happy for that. We have a lot of different areas that I'm going to cover with some pictures tonight. And later, if you'd like to ask me specific questions, we'll be glad to deal with those individual questions. But some of the areas that we're involved with in the work in Nikolaev, for several days a week, we're sitting there in the office, which is the same place as where the church meets. So on Sunday, in the same room where we're teaching people, having one-on-one Bible studies, this is our worship center as well. So we spend a lot of time in that room, practically 7 days a week. We're there meeting people in this public building. It is a wonderful building where the church meets. But we'd love to have the church to have its own building, but that's out in the future. Right now, we're very happy that we're in a public building. Everybody knows where it is. So it's just really wonderful. And then two or three times a week, we have the opportunity to go to a public university. And it is a major public university. It's not just any public university. Nikolaev is a city of about 500,000 people. And so this university is the place where its primarily function is to educate educators, those who want to go into the teaching profession, or, as in the case of this group of English students, they also, some of them want to be interpreters. And many of them do, in fact. So there are plenty of opportunities for interpreters in this city and people that want to help us to spread the gospel. The first time that I went there and asked for permission from the dean of this university, he said, these people need to hear the Bible. Yes, sir. Okay. You're talking to the right man. And so this is the public university, and they expect me to teach the Bible, to teach things like the Ten Commandments, to teach moral law, to teach these young people who are about to go out into the world into various professions how to be good professional people of character. That's what this man wants. And this always amazes Glenn and I, because we hear it often from Tanya, who is the head of the English department. And she frequently tells the students when she will come in, if it's a new group, and she'll come to introduce David and Galena. And she will tell them, listen to David. He will tell you about the Bible. It is the world's best book. And this is a woman with a PhD. Part of her graduate studies were done at Yale University. She comes to America and studies at different universities. Highly educated woman, bright as she can be, and she sees there's no better book in the whole world, nothing more important, no Shakespeare, no Dostoevsky, no nothing more important than the Bible. It is a wonderful opportunity. And they even offered to give us an office there and to just work from there. But we wouldn't have time to do all the other things if we're sitting around this university all the time. But that is an offer on the table all the time. And maybe somebody will say, I'll go do that. Okay, but there is that opportunity. So we are going to the university, and we're also teaching people individually who want to learn English or to improve their English. And we do that using the Bible and the World English Institute lessons, their courses that go from Genesis to the end of the Bible or to the new birth, so that a person knows what they need to do to become a Christian. They know that they need to have faith in God, have faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he rose from the dead. They learn that they must believe these facts and that they must trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation, and that they must change their behavior. They must repent of their sins, and that they must be baptized in order to be saved. They learn all of this in this course, and it is a very easy course to teach. I couldn't do it if it wasn't. Galena has her equivalent of a master's degree in English to be an English teacher. I tell people, well, I don't know anything about English. I just speak English. So if you have a grammar question, ask Galena. Well, so that makes us a pretty good team. I can talk and she can keep things correct. But we must understand that people have the great interest in the English language all over that part of the world. It is our lure. Our lure on the end of the line. We throw that English out there, and people come running to us. They want to learn English. And we say, now, remember, we're going to be teaching you the Bible. Oh, that's good. I don't know God. I would like to learn about it. So it is a good hook, a good way to meet more people. And we just love to do that. We also, another part of the activities that we're involved in each week, we go to work with some orphan boys, and then that is a huge challenge, and we'll show you more about that with some pictures. And then we go to a house of babies, and we don't go there so much because their needs are not as great, and we can't teach the babies. The boys' home is similar to the university. The director originally had a charter for me to teach them the Bible. And you can do this if you will show them from the Bible how to be a person who knows it's wrong to steal, knows it's wrong to lie, to cheat, and to do other bad things, so that they will get out of here because they're under sentence. We go behind a wall. This is a walled-in facility, and the director is an ex-cop. And it's that kind of a place. So we're working there, and we're working with these young boys that have been in trouble, and most of them are orphans, and they've seen nothing but bad stuff all their life. They haven't seen any love. They've never known a father's love, a mother's love. In fact, that's just what they say. They will tell us, I don't know about love. They only know that love means one thing. They learned that very early. They think love means sex, and that's all they know. They don't know that you could love someone and sacrifice for that person and give to that person and help that person and want to be that person's friend for life or a parent for life. Whenever we go around the room and we ask the boys, what do you want the most? They all, every single one say, I want a family. That's all they want. They want nothing else in life. They don't want a car. They don't want new clothes. They don't want anything to eat. They just want a family. And for those of us who have a family, think about how important it is, what a treasure it is to have a family. It's the most beautiful thing that we ever have to offer to each other is the Father's love through mama and daddy in our own families. Because there's so many children around the world that do not have this. And Galena's signaling me that I better move on. That's all our contact information. This is a place where the church meets. And you've seen this picture, those of you who receive my regular mail outs. This is not new to you. We have a huge sign, actually. It's really big. It's about like a 4x8, even a little longer than 8 foot piece of board that they let us paint and fix it up really nice. And it is weathered very many storms and rain and cold and is still looking sharp. We have another version of it inside the building, so we just are treated very well there. And this is the way that we have been advertising since 2009. We've been going around the city, putting these little advertisements around, and people call us, and they'll hear that we're offering free English classes. And this is the way that we do, and it helps us to meet people also as we go around the city putting out the advertisements. And this is our recent snow just before we came. That car there is in the building where we live, and that happens to be our landlord's car. And we live up on the fourth floor, and we have good landlords. Our rent is about $250 a month for the flat, and we plus our utilities. So we have a great deal. It is in the center. We can walk to where the church meets in about 15 minutes, so we have a very good situation where we are in the center of the city. And the other picture there that shows us in our Sunday morning Bible class at 11 o'clock, we have some kids that come to our Bible class at Sunday morning, and we're able to teach these children. But no, they are lovely children. And we have, we'll just show you some pictures of the church in many different activities. Every Sunday, after we finish our worship, then we stick around, and everybody, if they brought something, okay. If they didn't bring anything, well, Galena's always got something to share. So we always expect to sit around the tables and have tea or coffee or water or soft drink or whatever, and just mostly they'll discuss some point that I made in the sermon. They'll ask a question, or we'll just get to know more about their needs, who they are for the visitors, and that's a lot of fun to get to know these people better. There's an Americanist in there. You can probably spot him. And this is another David. His name is David Sielkas, and he visits to Nikolaev. He's a gymnast and is involved in gyms that teach people how to be a gymnast. And he's a member of the church. And so recently we had the amazing fortune to meet some Chinese students there in Nikolaev. And we're just learned to love them quite a bit. In fact, they're just such nice young people, and they were so lonesome. They came there not knowing Russian language, not knowing Ukrainian language. They only know a little bit of English, pidgin English, as you might say. But they know English very well to write you a letter. And so we correspond with them, and even when we're talking to them, They all have their whatever electronic device it is in their hands, iPhone or whatever. And so we're having a conversation. They have a big, good English vocabulary, but they're amazed. They'll say, "You don't understand my English?" And they just cannot believe that we can't understand the way they talk so fast with their English. So they will type out a word that they're trying to say in English. And so we've learned to love these three young men. And I'm teaching one who has developed a great interest in God. And while we're here in Alabama, the study goes on. He continues to ask very deep questions about God, about Jesus, about who Jesus really is, and how can he be the Son of God? How can he be God? Just many basic questions that we take for granted. But they're just full of these questions because all their families, they're from background of communists, atheist communists. So they're suddenly in Ukraine to study about shipbuilding in English. The teachers at the university, in fact, the head of the department there that is teaching these courses in English at the shipbuilding university is a graduate of our World English Institute all the way through the advanced course. And Natasha is also our friend, and we stay in touch with her. So she's the one who is in charge of all these students. And it's really exciting that we have this. That's a new door that the Lord has opened to us. We don't know where that will go, but we're just going to go through it. This little girl in the picture who's recently started coming to classes because her big brother has been coming to our 11 o'clock Sunday morning class. And, and I hit the trigger there, okay. So, and she is pretending that she knows how to read there. She doesn't know how to read, but she doesn't want anybody to know that. And so whenever the boys are preparing for their memory verses, she'll maybe have the Bible upside down or whatever, but she will hear the memory verse, and she's got it perfect. So she's from a difficult home, real tough environment, as her brother is. But they come, they ride to public transportation, and they come running to us and get hugs, and we hug them, and we love them, and a couple other kids, and they come to learn the Bible, to learn about God, about Jesus. And sometimes we think, well, this is just more than we can handle. But we God gives us the energy and the whatever we need to be able to teach these lovely children. In fact, Snezhana, which means like Snow Princess, Snezhana was so disappointed that she could not stay for the classes that she began to just cry when it came time for them to, the grandma called and said, they need to come home. And she said, can I just stay two more minutes? And so it just, it means a lot to some children that never get to go do anything and that they get to come to church. And we're happy that we can do that. And there you see David and Galina working, and my Russian is Neplohe. It's not bad, Nehorosha sometimes. It's not so good sometimes. But so I rely upon Galina to make sure that I am, that they are understanding properly in Russian language what I am wanting to say. And it is a very important work that she is greatly qualified for and has helped many missionaries over the years. In fact, Galina does translation work of many of the lessons that are translated into Russian for World English Institute. One great one that's available on the internet is on the new birth, and it's translated into Russian. This is our brother Stepan. We learned today that he missed the service, and he is 87. Normally, he's always there, but we just, when we called over there today, we learned he didn't make it. And this is Chin. His last name is Chin. And he chose an English name of Robin. I said, well, how'd you do that? He said, because early bird gets the worm. So he liked that. He's just got a great sense of humor and an excellent student, really a good student as he's learning about God. He's also an engineering student and very sharp at that as well. And this tall drink of water is a basketball player from Arizona who plays in the European League, and Daniel McClintock. And Daniel is an encourager. He and his wife help out at the orphans' home when they're there. There's always a few Americans that play in this European Basketball League, and they make the big bucks there too, and they do well. And Nikolai has a pretty good team there. And this is one Sunday when a couple of the new Christians were present at that time. This was back the summer 2012. And on the bottom, on the left, my left, your right. And so there, we were having a little bigger celebration that Sunday because of a baptism. And we see the newer picture, and Natasha and Tatiana, those are the two next to me, as John and Will and David, they remember those two ladies. And they're very active in the church. The problem is they have children who live in America, who are doing very well in America, who came here. And, you know, Ukrainians, they're ambitious, I'm telling you. You just tell them about something that they could do in America. Look out, buddy, here they come. And they'll do it good and work hard. And so she's one, Tatiana's son already has his own business here. Highly successful computer software business in New Jersey with lots of big clients. And Natasha's daughter manages a company in Connecticut. So they're very free to go to America when they want to go to America and see their children. So they'll do that about 6 months a year. Natasha leaves next Sunday to go to America. Tatiana will go a little bit later. So then they'll stay in America. So we miss them when they're gone. And we can't count on them, you see, for everything except when they're there. Was those kind of things. In 2012, we had five baptisms in Nikolai. We see there the with the yacht behind. The baptism is Elena. And she is just such a sweet girl. She became a good friend of ours. And she also had a chance to come to America. And so she's in America now. She came here to own a work travel program, got a good job with Drury Inn, and whatever company is also with Drury Inn. And she may not be able to stay here in America very long, but she is already a great employee of this company. They really like her, and she stays in touch with us by email, and we keep up with her. But we really miss her in the church. Everybody loves her. And where did she come from? The university. I know you're wondering, well, why don't you have more baptisms from the university? Why don't you have more baptisms from here and there? We do baptize people from the university. We don't baptize everybody. We don't baptize everybody here. We don't baptize everybody in Mexico. But we do meet people at the university. We meet people who study English with us. And we sit down with those. They become our friends. We show them God's love. And when they begin to see that we're for real, then they will listen to God's word. And it's building relationships that we're doing there for whoever comes after us. Natasha is being baptized there. That's in the winter. So in winter baptisms, we have to do those in our apartment. And she is... we meet people in different ways. We met Natasha one day. We walked into a McDonald's not in Nikolai, but in Odessa. Odessa is a nearby city. It's about a two-hour ride. And so we're sitting there, and we notice this person next to us, and she's trying to hear us speaking in English. And so I looked over to her and handed one of our English business cards. And I said, "Vi gavoriti pa ingliski? Do you speak English?" And she just grinned sheepishly and said, "Chut-chut, a little bit." And so she was very interested in our English course. She's an accountant, actually higher than an accountant. She's like a CFO in a pretty large corporation. And so we began to work with her regularly, and it lasted over about 6 months of studies. These are literate people. They're in their own language, but can you imagine trying to study the Word of God in a new language? So it was a struggle for her. So we let her also study in Russian as we go through in English. We do that with people who are kind of weak in English, so they get the message of God's Word. Natasha moved. Okay. So these things happen. We teach, we baptize, and then people do move away. This is one of our more recent baptisms, and I'm showing, as also this was in the winter in our apartment, and I demonstrate to them how we're going to do this in the bathtub. So sometimes people say, how are we going to have a baptism in the bathtub? So I'll just get down on the floor and show you need to get in the fetal position here and just on your side, and is the easiest way to do it. And it all works out, and we never had any problems except one time in Magadan. We had a woman who was really afraid to get under the water. She had never learned to swim. She didn't even like to get under the water in a bathtub. And she was really afraid, but she wanted to obey the Lord. And so we just had to work and pray with her and pray about it. And finally, I asked her, will you please just begin to try it, to try putting your head under the water. Just start trying it, because you want to obey the Lord if you will just keep trying it. And so just in a very short time, like 2 or 3 days, I'm ready. So she overcame it with God's help, with prayers. But some people have those issues. This is Omo, and he is one of the students from Nigeria that was baptized in 2012. And this is one of Nastya, who we met also from the university. And she is recently was helping our group when they came as an interpreter. She is a graduate of fifth-year course of English. And here's a little bit of information about the Nikolaev National University. That is the front of one of their buildings, the main building you go in, the administrative building. And the lady next to, the lady right next to Galina is Tatiana, and she is the one that is the head of the English department and who is responsible for appointing the teachers and all of that. And the other woman is the one who works for her, who sends us the messages all the time on Facebook, you need to be here tomorrow morning at 10:30 and stuff like that. So she's the scheduler and lets us know what our schedule is each week. And we have great cooperation. This is one of our groups. And that are two different groups. You can't see those too well, but sorry about that. But anyway, there are we have several different groups that we work with. We work with fourth-year English students, fifth-year English students, and sixth-year English students. So these are people who are just really growing in their English language knowledge, and they will know very well how to study the Bible. So those that we can get to sit down with us and study the Bible, we know we're very blessed to have them. And these are some more of the groups. This group over here on your right, those are the group that we have spent the most time with and that are our closest, like children. And they just talk about us as their parents. And we know them so well. And this is now to the boys' home, which is also known as the School of Social Rehabilitation. It's, as I say, it's a place where you send somebody. That's a big former cop, and I don't think anybody messed with him. This is Vladimir. And again, the first time we met Vladimir, we were introduced to him by a man that I had baptized in our first year there. That was a wonderful man and became a great helper, a great supporter, a champion for the cause of Christ in his golden age. And he just would give his whole life for the Lord's church during the year that he lived after his conversion. And he had spent his life as an atheist, as a top communist boss in Ukraine. And immediately he started to help introduce us to places where it would really matter. What we did would matter. And he had helped to start this school for boys that were street boys, because he himself had grown up that way as an orphan kid on the streets, and somebody picked him up, showed him some concern, and helped him to get his PhD and be a high educator in Ukraine. So he took us to meet Vladimir. And Vladimir was cautious at first. And whenever we began to teach the boys, Vladimir would open the door to peep, to be sure we're okay, that the boys are not threatening us and things like that. And we have never had the first disciplinary problem, never ever. So Vladimir now tells people that whatever David and Galina want, they have it at this boy's home. Galina really loves to walk across this pontoon bridge. She's always very nervous to walk across that thing. But sometimes we have no choice but to walk across it. In the summer, it's not a problem. It's actually pleasant and a beautiful. Where the boys' home is on a remote peninsula, very beautiful place, and but very remote. And these are just some more shots of the boys there at the boys' home, and they're receiving some T-shirts. And many people want to help these boys, and they have nothing. And the room where they have their bed, they have their whatever clothes they have on, they have a Bible. They have beds, they got their Bible in there. They're allowed to have their Bible. And they don't go to bed with iPhones or iPods or any of that stuff. Just very bare life. And but they love when we come. They're just, and they hang to us when we leave. And these three guys know that. They saw it and they felt it. It's an amazing thing. We were the recipients of gifts always that the boys make in shop. They learn how to do woodworking. They learn how to do metalworking. And some really get good at it. And so they like, and they sell some of the items. And they will never let us buy anything. They make these little gifts to us. And we'll buy something from their teacher. But one boy was sick in the hospital. Actually, three were recently. And so we went by McDonald's and got permission from the hospital to bring them some food. In Ukraine, if you have to go to the hospital, in many places in Russia, you need to bring your own medicine, you need to bring your own bandages, and you need to bring your own food. So be thankful for that you don't have socialized medicine. I'll just remember that. That's socialized medicine. You bring everything that you need, all right? And but we had a fun day there with them. We had a situation where we had to close in a wall in order to make a room where the boys have some place they can go, sit on the couch, and at least have a private time. And they had no such place. So now we helped to pay for this with help from you and some others. And we're very thankful that we're able to do that. And soon there will be some furniture moved in there, and they'll have some sofa and soft chairs. And we bought two heaters for the church. The place where the church meets, it was just so cold, and we were practically freezing. Everybody had the worship with our heavy coats on, and some people kept their hats on all the time. So we bought these two heaters. And then we learned that the boys' home, they were colder than we were. So our heaters that we bought for us, they immediately went to the boys' home. And we don't miss them, and we suddenly got warm, and God provided. A person came and put plastic in the windows, all of our windows where we meet, and that just kept the cold out for us for most of this winter. You see, every time we go to the boys' home, they're quoting verses from the Bible. They have memory work that they do, and they recite their Bible verses. And moreover, they're to study them during the week and be prepared to answer some questions that would let me see that they do understand what they've been reading and memorizing. It's a big part of the work. This is our apartment, and our apartment is like another work area. Whenever we're getting ready to go to the boys' home, our whole day Saturday has to do with getting some socks together, some underwear, T-shirts, or whatever we saw the last visit that they had no socks, they didn't have anything. So we'll gather it up and start taking things. This is where sometimes people send us some things, like we have some nice camel light pins that come to us that have lights on them, and we thank you very much, Charles. And we give those to many people, and some others have shipped us things that we use and to give away. Some people have sent us those little Hot Wheels cars, and we like to give those to the boys, and they love to receive those, and that's one of the few little collections that they now have. And here's one of the boys who amazed us at how many verses he had memorized. Not just one. He would just take a whole string of verses and memorize all of it. So some of the guys are very bright. And this is one of our shopping trips to prepare to take things to the boys' home. First, we go to this big shop. Then we get a ride back to the church, and we walk up the steps to leave some at the church meeting place. And then some, we go home, and we walk up our four flights of stairs where we live. That's how the life is. Then here are a few of our World English students. This is another phase of our work. The one on the right, this Olga up there, was baptized. She is a first-year student at university. Yeah, got that right. And this other one is also, we met from the university. And she is very sharp. She is a fifth-year student fourth-year student. And she came with a friend, Julia and Nastya. And they're so unusual and so much fun to teach. Whenever they challenge each other in our Bible study, it really adds some new dimension. It makes it very exciting. So these are sharp young people, all of them, very smart. This girl over here wants to be a journalist. This is a mother and a daughter over there and that are signing up. The daughter is signing up. Mama's already a student. Mother owns a company that recruits people, workers for shipbuilding purposes. And this is a couple of our young men that are students. We don't have as many men, and we don't have as many men at the university that study English. The men that we do have that study English, they want a better job. That's why they're studying English. They're typically engineers, and they know in order to get a better engineering job, they need good English. And so that's why they come to us. And they'll study anything we want to teach as long as we do it in English. These are our two real sharp students, Julia and Nastya. And then the House of Babies. We just have those pictures. These are little babies up to the age of four, and they're up for adoption. And some people do come to Nikolaev and to other places in Ukraine to adopt these little kids. This woman is a doctor. She's not the director. She's the local doctor, and she gave us a great tour. This was the day that the three men from Del Rey were there with us. We toured that facility. And this is some visitors from Del Rey. Maybe you recognize David, John, Will. And we just had them to participate in all the various activities that we're doing, and so that they would get a firsthand experience. And there they are at the university, and also we're utilizing the room there where we teach English, and we can accommodate several people at the same time. And following the evening service, we opened it up for questions, and our people had good questions to ask of our brothers. So it was a very profitable time that evening. And then was teaching at the university and also at the boys' home. And the boys, I'd say they had the best questions of anybody. They asked the deepest questions. These are kids that the oldest would be 17, and they're from 11 to 17. Technically, they're supposed to be out of there when they finish the ninth grade. But some of them, they still didn't finish the ninth grade, so they have to finish the ninth grade before they leave. And so they had very deep questions for our guys. And they appreciate so much. And they said, "Tell those guys from Alabama hello." So that's what the way they said it. And they remember you very well. And today, we already got a picture. See, this is the wonder of the modern electronic digital age. There's the young man that was preaching today. Already, the day is already past there in Ukraine, and he's already on his way back up to Donetsk on a train. Has a long train ride, a bus ride, then a long train ride. And Sergey, we talked to Elena, and Elena said, "Oh, he did such a good job, brought a good lesson." And so we learned that there were seven people present, and so our fears there were two couples for visitors. There were only two of our members there. So we were praying and praying they would have some visitors. Well, we did. And so it's wonderful. And we just see God working. This is one of the favorite songs that people learn the meaning of there in Ukraine, in Russia. "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And whenever you think about it, it shows you how our songbooks are. When there are some Americans that visit Nikolaev, and that's pretty frequent, actually, we can sing in English and we can sing in Russian at the same time. And we have that ability, the capability. So if somebody is visiting us from England or Australia, as we've had visitors from Australia and England, and also from America frequently, then we can sing in everybody's verse. We even have some songs, as this one does, that has some Ukrainian, so in Ukrainian language. But this song is very special because people learn about Jesus, and they learn that there is no salvation without the shedding of blood. And they learn that, and they learn that they cannot be saved except for the blood that Jesus shed. Our message that we teach there, and we teach people the gospel of Jesus Christ, that includes the death, the awful death on the cross for our sins, for your sins and mine. And they learn this message, and sometimes it takes a long time. And I see it may take a really long time for this young Chinese man who's never studied about God yet. And so he's just trying to grasp this. However, his friend, he says, "I want to be a pastor. I want to go to China and teach Jesus." I said, "Well, slow down. We've got to learn the truth first." And so they know some things, but they really do need to learn how much God loves us. And it's our task is to go all over the world and teach people about the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and how much the people of Del Rey love their soul. And I know you love their souls. And that if you met any of those people, the kids from the university, the boys we work with, those that we study individually with, the members of the church there, you'd love them the way that Jesus loves them, the way God loves them. And we just do the easy part. We go there. God has already opened the door. And we just tell them about the love of God, how much God loves them. I thank you for your attention tonight. And as I say, we do have plenty of handouts back there soon. We don't have them all tonight, but we will have them soon. And maybe you will want to ask us any questions. On the front, we have a few things we'd like to share with you. We have a flag of Ukraine, a flag of Russia. We have a map of Ukraine, the whole Soviet Union, so that you can get a better idea of where Ukraine is and where we're located. You can write me anytime. Call me if you need information about our mission work, where we're located, why we're there, what are the prospects there. And we believe that in the coming years, the greatest thing that is needed there is to train up more men to preach the gospel. In that part of Ukraine, the nearest churches of Christ are remote. They're far from Nikolai. So it will have to become, I remember first coming to Montgomery and hearing Brother Rex Turner give Montgomery as the center of the universe, that it was 167.5 miles to Atlanta, Georgia. And he would go around and name the miles to each city from Montgomery in his effort to persuade people that Montgomery is the hub and should be the hub for training preachers to share the gospel. Well, we can say that for that part of Ukraine. I can say it with conviction. It is a place where we have to train preachers, train more people who are Ukrainian. After all, sooner or later, people get tired of American. They see me as, one of the guys, just another Ruski or Ukrainsky, because I'm married to Galina. And so they just take me as a natural guy, one of them. And I'm very thankful for that. But also, the time is coming when everything should be done by local, born and bred preachers. And so we have that challenge to begin to train preachers. So that's part of what we're hoping to accomplish in the future and get started on it right away. Thank you very much. And if there's anyone tonight that you feel like you should respond to the offer of pardon that Jesus has made, Jesus makes the offer that he will pardon all your sins. He will eliminate them. He will erase them, and you'll be guilty free. You can be free of the guilt of sin tonight by surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ, by confessing your faith that you believe Jesus is God's Son. You believe with all of your heart, and you're willing to repent of your sins, and that you want to be baptized tonight. Will you come as we stand and sing?